Hey, good afternoon. I'm Jerry Yagar. This is Chicago's WGN Radio 720. Lots to do today. We're going to talk about the one-year job-saving score for President Obama in just a moment. I've got Jerry's Kidders coming in just to have some fun with the news right after the 4:30 report. A little later on, talk to gubernatorial candidate. He's running for governor. I just like to say gubernatorial. That's one of my favorite words. Dan Proft and Carol Felsenthal, who's a columnist and has followed the Obamas quite extensively since before the presidency, will join me. And she's going to talk about people from both sides of the aisle who Scott Brown can thank for his victory in Massachusetts. So that's all coming up along with many other things today. But we just passed the one-year mark for President Obama's administration. Scott Sargis is back with me from strategicsearch.com. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Jerry.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing well. All right, so you wrote a column here. My key question to you, is the jobs market better off or worse off as a result of what he's done? Well, helping people find jobs is what you do. So what's your answer to that question?
I give him an F.
An F, a thumbs down.
And you know why I say that, Jerry? Okay, if you believe what he says about the stimulus package, and if you go to recovery.gov, he says that he has created or saved 640,000 jobs. If you believe that, which I don't.
Okay.
And also, if you also accept the fact that they've spent $787 billion, I mean, unreal amount on this. And also, if you accept the figures from the Commerce Department, that $1 billion of private sector revenues creates between 20 and 40,000 jobs. Let's be conservative here. Let's say 20,000 jobs.
All right.
If you multiply 787 for
billion
the
$7 billion
by 20,000 jobs, by 20,000 jobs for each 1 million, that should create
for each billion,
that should create 16 billion jobs, or the same amount in New York City and Chicago residents. He's only created 640,000, so he's more than 15 billion short as far as jobs go. So even if you believe it,
Couldn't create that many jobs.
No,
there aren't that many people.
No, but the private sector, as a rule of thumb, can. And so the whole paradigm is wrong.
Okay. It's an interesting column that you wrote, and you go kind of through that sort of thing. But I'm going to jump to some of the comments made on your webpage, strategicsearch.com, of people who weighed in on this thing. And most people were kind of agreeing with you, but not everybody, okay? And a very common refrain right now is, whatever the situation is, it's not Barack Obama's fault anyway, it's George Bush's fault.
Well, it's over a year past, so why should that be the case?
Well, my answer to that is, okay, but Barack Obama promised that specific things were going to happen with the stimulus package, with the Recovery Act, one of which was that we would not get to 10% unemployment. Well, across the nation, that's about where we are, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. What is it in Illinois?
Well, in Illinois, it's 10.9%. And also, backing up a second, Jerry, this is the third straight month of 10% plus unemployment. We have to go all the way back to July of 1983 to see that, where we had 10 straight. So this is, and that doesn't even count the underemployed. You know, there's tons of people that are underemployed. In fact,
right,
some figures show that 1 in 6 people is underemployed. So things are terrible out there. And you go no further than your own neighborhood, and you see all these small businesses that are out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Things are terrible out there. And if you're throwing all this money, this is contrary to free enterprise and entrepreneurship. Everything I've learned in business school is contrary to what he's doing on jobs.
I'm Jerry Yagar on WGN along with Scott Sargis from strategicsearch.com. I just saw a statistic yesterday, or maybe this morning, Bloomberg research indicates that 77%, this is the number they use, 77% of investors feel that it is not safe to invest under the policies Barack Obama is pushing and enacting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's the money going to come from then to get businesses going and get jobs started, other than from the government, which is just taking it out of one pocket and giving it to another pocket, as far as I'm concerned? You think I'm wrong on that?
I agree with you on that. And on top of that, there's new rounds of bank regulation that he's talking about. People are scared. If you look at the stock market, I looked at all the stocks this morning. Most of them are down. And if companies' stocks are down, they're not going to add jobs. That's the bottom line.
One of the people weighing in on your column said, they said their stimulus and other measures would hold unemployment below 10%. Their figures show they goofed by a factor of 25%. So whatever burden they inherited, they nevertheless set out what they would do to fix it on their own scorecard. On their own scorecard, they're failing.
Correct.
I think that's fair to say.
Right.
It's not an easy problem to solve, but we had a financial problem when President Reagan came in. He inherited a horrible financial situation, huge inflation and interest rates, etc. And he took the exact opposite approach. He basically said, that's when he said government is not the solution, it's the problem. And he started backing government out from regulation and putting sort of the fear of God into investors and business people and bankers. And we turned around in the 80s, we're fantastic.
Right.
Why wouldn't that work again?
It would work again. And if you look at one of my heroes, Milton Friedman, what does he say in his book, Free to Choose? Or what did he say? And that is, the government should be in the least amount of industries and areas as possible, and free enterprise should drive jobs. I mean, that's the major paradigm historically that's worked. And there, I went and visited three companies over the last few weeks, small companies under 500 employees. They want to add people, Jerry, but what are they saddled with? All of this new regulation from healthcare to banking, and on top of it, a pay czar. I mean, that's
what's the pay czar supposed to do?
Well, that pay czar is supposed to keep the salaries down. That's contrary to supply and demand. I mean, if you have certain people like Michael Jordan, and he's a great basketball player, are you going to say that he should be getting the same amount as Will Perdue? No. Or the whole purpose of free enterprise is to reward those people that are great. And the purpose of the pay czar is contrary to that, is to keep down the pay of people that are great. And even in the case of these bailouts, the supply of people worldwide that can do these bailouts and handle it is minuscule. And if you're going to limit the amount of money, who's going to take that job, Jerry?
Well, I'm curious about the pay czar. Okay, I don't know how many czars we have now, but what worries me about them is nobody elected them. They seem to be given a fair amount of power to go around and wield their influence with American business, American life in general. And it seems a scary thing to me.
It is.
And that's what's worrying businesses. They businesses operate best when they have some confidence that the system, it may go up and down economically, but they want to know what the rules are, right? They don't want the rules changing all the time. And it's very uncomfortable, I would imagine. I'm not an investor or a person starting a business. Well, other than a little entrepreneurial thing I'm doing with some friends where we have a play, but that's a different thing. I'm talking about, say, trying to start a bakery or trying to start any kind of business, right? It's got to be pretty scary when you see people with the kind of power the president has coming on television and basically denouncing the idea of people being successful. People say that that's not the case, but it's constantly, these people aren't paying enough taxes. These people are unfair. What is wrong with the concept of just letting the American economy work?
Going back to Milton Friedman, that is his whole premise, and that's contrary to what's being done. They're doing more things to saddle entrepreneurship. They should be if I was the White House, one priority I would have right now is everything possible to create new jobs. And what I'll tell you what I would do. I would R&D, they have a thing called a Skunk Works program, and that's to take some of the crazy inventors and some of the people who are most passionate about doing things. And I would recruit a Skunk Works team, maybe somebody from labor, for a labor union who really is passionate about creating jobs. One person who's been an entrepreneur and has started a few businesses. Maybe some other major corporation. I would put them together and I would give them carrots and sticks and incentives and punishments if they don't succeed, and follow what they say, because these are people that know about jobs. This administration has a lot of people that don't know how to create jobs. They've been bureaucrats, and they've saddled us with bureaucratic red tape.
This administration, I understand, has less experience collectively in the private world than pretty much any administration. And that in itself is scary. Well, but that's why they think government's the solution, I guess. The number here is 312-591-7200. 312-591-7200. Scott Sargis is with me. Strategicsearch.com. This is Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Jerry Agar, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
With me here on WGN is Scott Sargis from strategicsearch.com. We're talking about the one-year anniversary here for President Obama and his effort to add jobs to fix the employment situation. And Scott, in a column at his website, strategicsearch.com, essentially gives the president an F. In fact, the situation has gotten a little worse since the president took over, and he said we had to spend bazillions of dollars in order to save the economy. Here is Barry from Central Illinois on WGN. Hi, Barry.
Hello.
You're up.
Hello?
Yep, you're up. Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys want to take all the regulations off all the banks and Wall Street and everything. That's what got us in this mess to start out with. They took all the regulations off of Wall Street and the banks, and they all went belly up and did every shady deal in the world, and then we had to go in and bail them out.
What specifically did the banks do that got us in this trouble, Barry?
They were doing those hedge funds and leveraging and all that stuff and consolidating those bad loans and selling them off.
But why were they doing bad loans in the first place to people who couldn't afford to pay for a mortgage? Why would you lend money to somebody who couldn't afford to pay off a mortgage?
Because it was all pie-in-the-sky stuff. They thought they could get by with it.
That's not why, Barry. Actually, the reason is because they were forced under the Community Reinvestment Act to start helping the poor, helping minorities, helping people who shouldn't have been getting mortgages in the first place. They were forced by the government to do it. Then the government backstopped them by saying, well, if these people don't pay back, you can fob it off on the taxpayers through Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And so then why wouldn't the banks do it? They were over-regulated, not under-regulated.
It was only the poor people that were losing their homes.
Well, they couldn't afford those homes in the first place, but the government told the banks to give them to them.
Well, I'll tell you what, in our area, there was a lot of people that worked at Caterpillar making awful good money that were losing their homes, too, because they bought over their head.
Have you? Yes, and the government was pushing for that to happen. I'm telling you, Barry, it was not under-regulation. It was over-regulation by people like Barney Frank, who went around calling anybody who disagreed with that Community Reinvestment Act a racist, and now he himself is demonizing the banks. Disagree with any of this, Scott?
Actually, I don't. And one thing, Barry, I'm not anti-regulation. Some regulation is good. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm against over-regulation, which this administration is involved with.
You have to have some kind of regulation, but some sort of consistent rules, and not a consistent demonization of the banking industry in general, of the healthcare industry in general. There's just an attitude that private industry is bad that comes from this administration.
And one other thing I want to add to that, Jerry, Barry brought up an interesting point about Caterpillar, is that manufacturing jobs are being lost in this country and have been lost, and that's an important point, because if countries that can't make their own planes, tanks, and armaments can't fight the wars of the future, and we've been steadily losing that manufacturing base. It's not because of the banks. It's because of a lot of short thinking on Wall Street, and it's also government regulations saddling these manufacturing companies so they go to China and India. I am very pro-manufacturing. And in fact, I've done business with Cat, and I'm very pro the high salaries of manufacturing. So I am not anti-regulation, Barry. I am for not this over-regulation.
Here is Dean from Macomb on WGN. Hi, Dean.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
I fully agree with the fact that we're being over-regulated. Cap and trade is a big deal for most every business. And then it's like, well, if you don't agree with that, then we're going to nail you on this side of the equation. You know, we're going to make the EPA come in and, you know, regulate every piece of carbon that you expel when you do your manufacturing. And I just can't understand how the majority of the people out there can't see this.
Well, if you're running a business, Dean, and you hear, we're going to attack you on the carbon front, we're going to attack you with health care, that if you don't do what we tell you to do, there's going to be all kinds of penalties. At what point does an entrepreneur say, I'm not going to risk my money?
Exactly. I've been in the insurance industry for 35 years, and to be demonized because insurance companies make a 5% margin. Now, tell me what investor is going to jump on board to make 5% or less on their return?
The statistics, and you would know this better if you're in the industry, Dean, but I've read that on average it's around 6% for health insurance companies, but of late they've been making somewhere around 2 or 3%.
Right, exactly.
And yet Nancy Pelosi called those immoral profits.
Right, yeah. And the other part of the whole equation is the government won't earn up to the fact that when you artificially set prices on health care, which they do through Medicare and Medicaid and the VA, you've got to pay someplace else to keep those businesses open. So where is it going to get transferred? It's going to get transferred to the public sector.
Thanks for your call, Dean.
Thank you much.
All right.
One more point on that, Jerry, as far as what Dean was mentioning. Historically, Adam Smith's invisible hand is the key to making businesses run. And to the extent that government holds that invisible hand down, people are, as you said, are not going to invest their hard-earned money.
What's the two-sentence explanation of the invisible hand?
The invisible hand says that entrepreneurs are going to go out and they're going to do what's in the best interest of the society because they're guided by their own greed, basically.
Right. And they're competing with other people who are guided by their own greed, and therefore, in the end, the customer is served. And it brings together, is my understanding of it, the collective genius of the people of the country instead of just a couple of people who are in some office in Washington, D.C.
Right. Big Brother doesn't work. Michael Douglas said in the movie Wall Street, greed is good.
Now, see, people demonize that, and I don't think they even got it when they wrote that movie. But yes, that's how capitalism works. Absolutely, somebody is going to run their business in their own interest. But if it's in their own interest to put on a sale so they can beat the competitor, the consumer participates in the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you benefit.
That's exactly right.
A monopoly, of course, has a different way of operating altogether, and that's essentially what I think they're trying to do. We'll run everything from Washington, D.C. That's a monopoly. We'll have a monopoly on health insurance. I don't care if the government runs it or private industry runs it. A monopoly is the most dangerous thing you can have.
That's exactly correct.
All right. We've run out of time here, and I really appreciate you dropping in again.
Thanks for having me.
Giving us some of your Saturdays, as you do. Scott Sargis is with StrategicSearch.com.